We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
All right, that was Adam Gase yesterday talking about changes and mental mistakes and all that stuff. So we bring in Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel. Omar, boy, I'll tell you what, Coach had a lot of stuff laying it on the line there. Was he sound like to you he was more frustrated with the mental mistakes or just the way everybody played overall?
I think the answer is both. There are a lot. I mean, he's got to be frustrated with everything. That includes play calling, just because they never got into a rhythm. There was nothing that they did well. Especially from an offensive standpoint. I think, during the game, he was like, okay, our defense, we put too much pressure on them, and eventually they cracked. But offensively, I mean, I think they only converted one first down, one third down. It's really hard to survive when you play like that.
I'm just curious. He talked about changes. Where could changes take place on this team? What backup could all of a sudden be playing?
I think the tight end situation has to be evaluated. Julius Thomas, he hasn't been good going back to OTAs. I think that needs to be assessed, looked at. Anthony Fasano, to me, is better than Julius Thomas. And then probably use Julius Thomas as maybe the backup that comes in on certain passing downs. I think the Anthony Steen, Jesse Davis situation probably could go the opposite way, where you're playing Anthony Steen and maybe rotate Jesse Davis in. I mean, playing Jesse Davis and rotate Anthony Steen in.
Steen had a rough game. He had some rough plays, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think this is the second game he had some rough plays. But that's about it. I really can't sit here and tell you that there can be a ton of different plays or a ton of different, options that Adam Gase has. But it's great to say, oh, well, I'm going to make some changes and get everybody a little bit nervous so they can probably work a little bit harder in practice.
Omar, was there anything positive that came out of this game over the weekend? Anything at all that you saw?
I can't really think of one. In fact, I usually do spend today just scouring over the film and looking at it just to analyze what happened. And I have no desire or interest of looking at that film again, just because it's god awful. It's really just, it was disgusting. It's probably the worst football I've seen, offensively especially, maybe since that New England Patriots loss in 2007 when Randy Moss tore like three ACLs.
Cameron Worrell, I remember those guys.
It was bad. You're right. Whatever anybody has to say about that game, they're probably right on the money. Hey, Omar, are they just, when I look, because he talked about the skill position players and obviously a running back who's had success, is the offensive line holding everything back from the quarterback to the running back to the three wide receivers? Does it start there?
Yes. You guys know where I sit in this situation. I'm always about trench play, the line of scrimmage. And Adam Gase was always like, we'll be fine. It'll hold up. I'm worried about everything else. But, and I always disagreed with him, and he knows I disagree with him. If your line play is not good, your offense will not be good. And we go back to the Tennessee game. What spoiled the Tennessee game last year? It was the line play. Well, he cut players. Okay, well, what spoiled your game against the Jets last week? Your line play. If you're a team that's built off play action passing and you can't run the ball, well, there goes your offense for the entire day. Yeah. And you know, and that's what happened against the Jets. And I blame Adam Gase as well, because he could have opened it up and spread them out and started airing it out, even though it probably wouldn't have been successful. He could have done that, but he kept relying. He was like, okay, we're going to get this going, and you never got it going.
All right, so let me ask you this. As you look at everything that brought up, I guess it was Tunsil after the game brought up mm-hmm. the whole thing yeah. of bad practice. Coach
well,
Gase
yeah.
said practices were fine. I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know who asked Coach Gase that question, if it was you or somebody else. But so was that the theme? Like, they're not have the practices aren't good enough? Is that how these players felt that you talked to?
You know, when you get your butt whooped like that, you look for any kind of justification, and that's, you know, that's some of the answers that we got. Okay, well, we didn't practice hard enough, but then some of the more veteran players were just like, okay, well, that's an excuse, because coach didn't say that during the week. They didn't get on us during the week about it, and you know, you just look for any kind of excuse or justification for why you get pushed around and beat up by us.
Well, it was just bad. Like, I agree. Like, the practice thing's kind of weak. Listen, man, it's a new NFL. Yeah. I understand we don't practice, you know, like they used to, but everybody's playing under the same rules, right?
That's right.
Last
yes.
time I checked, it's not like – so for any of those guys to come out and use that, like if they didn't play well or had mental mistakes – because apparently there were a lot of mental mistakes. That's something that can be taken care of. Like, Adam Gase is really into little detail things and going over them. And you got a ton of coaches. And if you're not, like, if I made mental mistakes and I found out, and I'd be in that room when I get back tomorrow. Hell, I'd be in on my day off going, coach, can we sit down and I can go over my mental mistakes? Because they shouldn't be happening, correct?
Yeah, correct. I think there were a lot of drop passes. There's a lot of one hopping pass. There was a lot of plays where the defenders, Jets defenders, were in the backfield, didn't even give JHI some opportunities to open up holes. But then that's also not a factor that, you know, four of the offensive starters didn't really practice last week. So, you know, that can throw off their rhythm. And yeah, that has a lot to do with the injuries. But, you know, there is just absolutely no excuse for the way that they played. So you can make any, but it's not going to cut it. It's not acceptable.
Well, I think that's what Adam Gase pretty much has said. Like,
yeah.
Listen, he ain't sugarcoating anything. Well, his comments yesterday, he was ripping and roaring there, man. I guess just a matter of what they're going to do tomorrow.
What I love about the way Adam Gase is that he's honest, he's candid, and he's critical, and he's critical of himself as well. So, you know, he took a lot of the blame for the offense being stagnant against Chargers or the slow start against the Chargers. But what I find extremely interesting is that he lumped in last year as well. That last year's offense
That surprised me a little bit. They had a slow start. But they had some really good games, and even when they didn't, the plays were set up where there was a mental mistake in that Pittsburgh game. They had a chance to make some huge plays and even have a chance to win against the Steelers if they able to block a couple of those plays. But, yeah, I was surprised that he brought both seasons in there.
I mean, if you're going to really analyze his offense in the past 17 plus another 19 games that they've played, there are two issues. When the run game is not there, they're not good on offense. And then third down struggles. Those are the two things that continue to hold back Adam Gase's offense. And, you know, and that's why he lumped it in, you know, last year too. If you don't fix those two issues, you're going to continue to be a bad offensive team. And that's who they are.
I'm guessing he would agree with you. More plays, better on third down, keep drives going, time of possession, your defense stays fresh. All those things kind of tie to get better in the red zone and getting points. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how these guys bounce back and have a long flight and get ready to go against the Saints. Defensively, overall, You look at it, and they gave up the long touchdown pass, but the Steel, I look at the points, that's good enough to win, right? The way they've played.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not pleased with what I've seen from a defensive standpoint.
What part frustrates you the most? The secondary, corners, what?
All of the above. I think they're not getting enough pass rush pressure. I think they're not covering cornerbacks tight enough. And I know a lot of that is because they're doing a lot of things to try to help run support. I haven't been pleased with the safety play. I'm ready to bench Nate Allen and put in Michael Thomas. I'm ready to play Chase
Allen.
I like
Michael Thomas too. I'm a Michael Thomas fan. Smart, going to be there, play special teams, full of energy, whatever he lacks physically or anything else. I'm with you on that. Yeah, I like him.
And then, you know, Cordrea Chankersley, you know, he's been inactive for the first two games. At this point, why would you play Ultron Verner over him unless he's absolutely dominating him in practice?
Well, he must be, because they'd be playing him. They're not. Listen, man, they're going to play the best players. Adam Gase is right. You agree with that? Like, it's not a popularity contest. It's about who's the best player.
Sometimes it's about where the coaches feel comfortable in terms of a guy who knows your assignment. Because I know Cordrea Tankersley, it's about the upstairs part. At this point, I'm just playing the best athletes. I'm playing the guy who gives me the upside and the investment. And based on what we've seen from Verner in one game, it was not even close to good enough. So go with the young player. So you've got issues all across the secondary, so from the safety to the cornerback, linebacker. You're just trying to make it through without Lawrence Timmons, and then defensive line. I'm not seeing. You know, I don't blame them for the run game last week, but I'm not seeing the pass rushing that I expected.
Oh, Mark Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us every Tuesday morning. Is it Tuesday already? I don't even know what
he's
day
on
is.
Different days.
Usually Tuesdays are at 8 a.m. when we can from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. This Dolphins update is brought to you by Ruth Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. So now the trip to London, Omar, and now you got a game against a pretty high-powered offense in New Orleans. What do you do now? Like, what needs to change in your mind for this team to have a chance this weekend in London?
You have two hard practices on Wednesday and Thursday, and then you hop on a flight and you fly all day, and you have your body struggle to adjust, and you play the best that you can, and produce the best game plan that you can against the Saints, which is you basically gonna have to put up at least 28 points to give yourself a chance.
Omar, the other obviously thing that we talked about all day yesterday was what's going on with the national anthem and stuff. I wasn't around the team after the game. What'd you think? What was your take on everything that took place, not only with the Dolphins but around the league?
I think the NFL owes Trump a huge thank you because they've unified the league. You know, there's a great deal of division between owners and players, and that probably doesn't exist anymore. You know, Colin Kaepernick was the guy who was falling on the sword and the only person, not the only person, but the face of a movement and a push for social justice issues, and now the entire league is making a push for social justice issues. You know, whereas Donald Trump is a divisive president, the NFL has taken it upon themselves, and probably all of sports has taken it upon themselves to, you know, close that divide and to create some harmony. And Trump deserves a huge thank you. Instead of paying attention to what's going on in Puerto Rico or pushing for, you know, changes in health care, possibly by putting pressure on the insurance companies or pharmaceutical companies, he's focused on dealing players, which, you know, to me is sad, but, you know, that seems to be the president of the United States.
The third part of this, and we talked about it all day yesterday, and we had everybody fired up on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence, as you know. The third part of this, though, once you get past Trump and the Alabama stuff and the Charlottesville stuff to the players and the national anthem and what they did, is the fans. And there's a lot of salty fans. Would you be worried if you're the league about that? Or what's your thoughts on the third and very important part, the fans and advertisers and the whole group?
I think if you have a fan base that's upset about the fact that players are creating an awareness to social justice issues, and this isn't about, and that's what the people are misconstruing, that this is about the flag. It's not about the flag. It's in fact, a lot of people are kneeling to pay respect to the flag, but it's about creating an awareness for social justice issues. And here's the problem. People, you know, when we're saying that, oh, this is about the flag, it's like saying that Rosa Parks was basically, you know, had a problem with buses. It's about creating an awareness and creating change and making America better. When Muhammad Ali was making his sacrifice, a lot of people criticized him in the moment. But when history reflected upon it, I think we're all a little thankful about what he did and the sacrifices that he made. No social gain has ever been made without people making sacrifices, which is why I'm thankful for the Kenny Stills and the Michael Thomas who continue to do the work, not just on the field, but off the field in terms of making change.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar, are you heading up to London this weekend?
Yes, I am.
Right,
London, flying out tomorrow. So
you're taking Dave Hyde with you? Is Dave going as your date there?
Actually taking my girl, but Dave is.
Ooh, you're taking your girl too?
Wow.
Damn, you're kind of coming. You're kind of coming out on the little lady there a little bit.
Yeah.
Where is that thing, Omar? Come on.
We're close.
you're tight man-to-man coverage? All right.
Yep,
that's what
I
we
like
wanted
that.
To hear right We're there.
Like
tight
that.
Man-to-man
no prevent.
Coverage.
No,
there
no
you go.
Prevent.
All right.
Omar, we'll speak to you next week. Have a good time in London, buddy.
I guess.
All right. Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And like we said, it's Kegs and Eggs with the Dolphins and New Orleans in London early Sunday morning. Chris Whittingham, Channing Crowder host Dolphins game day. Get this at 5:30 a.m. from Dave and Buster's at the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood. Jimmy, Joe, Bob, and Bo call the game at 9:30 a.m. on WQAM and Kiss 99.9. Big O and Troy Stratford take your calls on the Fifth Quarter Show after the game. Don't forget, you could also listen to the game on the TuneIn Premium app. We'll be back. We have a lot more football to take care of in this hour. Big 8 o'clock hour for you right here. And don't also remember, by the way, Omar Kelly, Miami Dolphins update brought to you by Ruth Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. We'll be back right after this.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.